You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
There it is.
There it is.
I like to wait for it. Hi, everybody. This is the new AfterBuzz show for The Newsroom. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing... This was a very dramatic episode tonight, so we are going to get right into it. My name is Kelly, and joining me tonight are...
Hi, I'm Kristen Carroll.
I'm Sarah Mendoza.
And I'm Jeffrey Cannata.
Our guest.
Our special guest.
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
Welcome. Yes. So Jeff is a huge fan of The Newsroom.
I am. I love it with my whole heart.
And I saw on Twitter how you were kind of, you know, batting for The Newsroom because people were kind of, you know.
I don't understand. Back. I don't understand how anybody can't love it.
I don't either. I'm with you.
I mean, this show feels like it was made for me. I mean, for example, tonight we have a Star Trek reference, a Rudy reference, and Glass-Steagall and Citizens United. It's like... Where else can you get those things all in the same hour of drama?
I know. They jump right into it. It reminds me of how much was going on at that time when everything was happening in Egypt. And there was a strong focus in this episode tonight about, you know, all the protesting and, you know, the rioting and all of that that happened in Egypt, which was terrible within itself.
This is the first episode that hasn't been a domestic issue, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that there was anything international.
Yeah, this is the first of the season.
That's been pretty hardcore.
It's very interesting to see what stories that they're picking. And it's within one episode, sometimes they're covering months and months of an issue in just one episode. So it's cool that they're able to capture that intensity of, you know, that process of having to cover such a huge issue just in 1 hour alone, even though it could have lasted for a year even.
Right, and so it starts out that Elliot is in Cairo, and he is at his hotel room trying to kind of tell everybody what's going on, because I guess, you know, ever, like, out on the streets, it was really difficult for him to be out there, so he was kind of holed up in his hotel room, and Don was really angry about that. He was, you know, kind of bashing him, you know, talking smack about it a little bit, and basically, you know, by the end of it, bullies him into going out on the street. Now, that's what he says. Do you really think that he had to do too much persuading to get him out there?
Well, no, Elliot even said, he goes, you couldn't have stopped me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Will was saying that everybody was jealous of the fact that he got to go out there and do that. And as a journalist, you know, you want to get the story as much as possible. Right. And you're out there in a hotel room. You want to go out and try to see what you do.
And when he heard the gunshots, he ran out pretty quickly to go see what was going on.
Right. He didn't run and hide. He had his journalist instinct. He wanted to go out there and cover what was happening.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when he went out there, he got beat up pretty bad. And then this was interesting for me because we got to see a side of Don's character that kind of made me feel a little bit bad for him. And I learned a little bit more about him. I don't know about you guys, but the way he deals with things, because he always seems to be so angry and such a jerk all the time. Mm-hmm. But in this case, he felt really guilty as he felt bullying Elliot into going out there, and he was really hard on him. So when Elliot got hurt, he felt bad, so he was just mean to everybody. And is that just the way most guys deal with things? I mean,
oh, why are you looking at me?
Tell us.
I would say
like a man.
He's not angry, he's uncompromising. Mm-hmm. He has a very high standard set for himself and those around him, and he's unwilling to compromise that for the sake of anybody. And I think that can come off as being very harsh or off-putting, but
I mean, he just takes it to the extreme all the time. Like, he always has to be very harsh, very condescending and stuff all the time when he's delivering something. And I totally get, you know, holding yourself at a high standard and, you know, all of that, especially in an environment like that.
Yeah.
But does he really have to be like that all the time? With everything?
Well, I think there's also that awesome competition that's been set in between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's trying to root for his guy and make his guy seem to be a prominent anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And so having him, you know, locked away in that hotel room, it makes him come off as being not where the action is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I love most about this show is that it's passionate people who want to do a good job.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and seeing that's why you couldn't have stopped him, you know, because mm-hmm. these guys, they want to be doing the best possible job they can be doing.
Yeah.
And speaking on, you know, how Don is very direct and it does come off as condescending. We also see that, though, in Mackenzie. It's mm-hmm. not just Don. It's that environment. You're in a deadline-driven environment. There's a mm-hmm. lot of pressure going on. You've got to get this newscast up by 5 and 6 and 10 with new, you know, sound from somebody, an interview, new B-roll, whatever it might be. I think it's just the way that it happens in that kind of environment. You just have to be direct. You mm-hmm. have to tell them, this is what I want. There's no time to baby someone or, you know, kind of go around and make sure everybody's feelings don't get hurt. But I agree with you. He doesn't have to do it all the time. But I think it does show that side where there's no time to coddle anybody. Like, we got to get this up now.
Right.
I know you're out there and it's very dangerous, but we need that story. Mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing. So it shows that side.
So do you guys all agree with that sort of attitude? I mean, do you think that's realistic?
That's very realistic. Although they show just enough of his personal side that I think that increases when he does something like that so forward in work. Mm-hmm. But we also see that he's not that great of a guy in his personal life,
mm-hmm.
how he treats Maggie.
Right.
I think that adds to the fact, like, when I watch him then at work, I'm like, oh, he's just a jerk to everybody because mm-hmm, I don't
right.
like, you know, you sometimes in a show like this, you can't necessarily separate, okay, what he is at work and what he is mm-hmm. in the personal life because Aaron Sorkin shows both of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right because if he wasn't such a jerk to Maggie, I don't think we would be so mad as much about him being direct mm-hmm. when he's in the professional environment. If he was sweet to Maggie and then direct to his coworkers when he's trying to get a newscast up, we would probably like him a little bit more.
How is he a jerk to Maggie exactly?
Well, he's not really a jerk. He just doesn't care too much about her and her feelings. He's very self-centered, I think, is the thing.
Yeah.
So when she's in need of something, like she was when she was having her panic attack or when she was stressed out about this new position, he wasn't really there to help her and encourage her. He just kind of like, I can't deal with that kind of thing. So he's just not that type of a boyfriend to her, where he's
right.
not there for her. He expects her to be there for him, but he doesn't do it for her. And that's what we
Boy,
don't like.
I have walked into the den of females. Because from my perspective,
a Dawn in the AfterBuzz studio
right now? She was also keeping that from, I mean, we're talking about the last episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or two episodes ago. Anyway, she was keeping that from him,
the
right?
What?
Her panic attacks.
No,
like
she knew about it from Jim. He knew about it because he's the one that told Jim.
Yes,
she has it, she'll be better later.
She's on the terrace. She has panic attacks. Basically, like, I can't.
Which is why Jim went outside to find her.
And
I think painting him as sort of a simple villain, I don't think it's fair. I think he's more complicated than that. That's what's so interesting about
right.
it. It's like he's a good guy. He's just. He's focused on a different thing, and
right.
and I don't. I mean, he showed up with flowers tonight, right?
No, he did, and we're
and
getting to
said a
know
really
him.
Sweet thing to her.
We're getting to know him a lot more, and that's one thing that we had talked about mm-hmm. in previous shows is that we were wondering, you know, are we going to dig a little deeper with him, and hoping that we do.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I'm glad that we got to see was that because it showed, you know, at least for me too, a little bit. More rounded version of what his personality is and how he deals with things.
Right.
He deals with it in a more aggressive level, but that doesn't necessarily make him a jerk. It's just the way he kind of deals with it.
And he's never done something quote unquote wrong that he didn't apologize for. He didn't realize his mistake. I think a lesser writer would paint that character as mm-hmm. completely mm-hmm. You know, unlikable and with no redeeming qualities.
Right.
And we would all be rooting for her to ditch him. And I think it's a much more interesting show because he's not all bad. He's not even, there's even a perspective to say he's not bad at all. You know, he's just sort of there's ships in the night a little bit, you know, and he's doing the best he can and trying to juggle certain things, and that's what makes that love triangle so interesting. It's because
you don't know.
Yeah,
which way.
She has legitimate reasons to be with both of those guys.
Right. Mm. Yeah. True. Well, and one of the reasons too I ask about the dialogue is because in one of these articles that I read about, you know, a reporter that was critiquing the show and, you know, really doesn't like it, the thing that I thought was funny is he said that all of Sorkin's characters speak their mind, they're condescending, they're very know-it-all-y, and there's nothing left to the imagination. They say everything that's on their mind all the time.
I think I read that same article.
I don't think, yeah.
None of them hold back anything, which...
No.
Which I like in a show, but it's funny. I think a lot of people in real life, though, censor themselves a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I like in this particular atmosphere that they don't.
Right. And there was an article where Aaron Sorkin was quoted as saying that he wanted the show to be aspirational. That it's not, this is not a reality show. This is the thing that I think that people are really, like, if they stop talking and just take it in for what it is.
Right.
This is not a reality show. This is an entertainment show. He writes a story about the way he wants things to be.
Yes.
And to be very, you know, he wants people to talk like that and always say what's on your mind and cut the BS.
He writes the world as it should be, not as it is.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yes, and from his perspective, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, he spent 2 days in a newsroom before he started doing this. Not like he did, like, all this crazy extensive research. You know, that's why he has his group of, you know, other writers that kind of help with all of that. But it's more about the character building, I think, than it is I want to be so factual about how a newsroom is.
Right.
I want to show the life inside the newsroom.
He's quoted as saying, they think that I'm showing off an intellect and an erudition that I don't have. So he admits, like, I don't have that knowledge. I'm not trying to show off my news prowess or, like, how, you know, I believe that the report should have been done. I'm just putting on a show. I'm trying to make a good show that's entertaining.
Yeah.
And it happens to be centered around a newsroom.
Well, yeah, that's from Olivia Munn was talking about. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Please.
I saw Olivia Munn the other day on, I think it was KTLA, and she was talking about, though it was kind of funny how much they do try to make it as newsroom as possible, that they actually work in something that could, if they just put according to Olivia Munn, if they just put a satellite on top of the building, they could almost broadcast it. And she said it was a little intimidating at first because, you know, you're doing some stuff in real time. She's like, can we go back to this acting thing for a minute? That's what I thought we were doing, which I thought was really funny. So they try to make it a little bit as much newsroom, but like you said, it is very, it's entertaining. It's an HBO show.
Yeah, and I just thought that was funny because I don't find it too far one way or the other. I mean, I think just knowing, you know, news and journalism and stuff the way that I do, I think that it's, you know, it's relatable. That is the way that I wish people talked all the time. I mean, how much time would it save if everybody just cut the crap? Just said what they need to instead of the 55 roundabout conversations that you have trying to make one point, you know?
Right.
Well, it's smart people who don't suffer incompetence.
Right.
You know, they're direct, and if you can't keep up, that's not their issue.
Yeah.
And that's how he's always written. You know, that's how A Few Good Men is written. That's how West Wing was written. You know, that's his style.
And I love that style of writing. I mean, he said so himself, I create shows that I can write because I want to be a writer. Right. That is what I want to do. That is what I like to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and the bottom line is if you don't like it, then don't watch it.
Right.
It's not a big deal.
And he's trying to cover the other news spectrum of gossip as well with TMI. So it's not like he just talks about the hard news. He acknowledges that, hey, there's also other facets of news that's out there that is popular, but doesn't fall under the umbrella of, you know, serious issues.
Right. But the way that they incorporated the hard news, especially with the Egypt report in this tonight, I thought was, you know, it was a lot more emotional than, you know, than I was expecting. You know, with the way that they brought in, you know, a local anchor. They found somebody local. And we got to see more of Dev Patel's character, Neil.
We got to learn a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Well, and I read something that his character was originally supposed to be really small. And the more that he was around Aaron Sorkin, the more that he wrote for him. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of building this character with each episode. It wasn't originally supposed to be like that. So I guess as more and more episodes progress, we're going to see more and more of his character.
Right.
But, you know, they find this kid in, you know, Cairo that's running around and doing these hardcore broadcasts on YouTube and, you know, Facebook and all of that. And it's just, you know, putting himself out there to try to get this news story.
He had his moment. Tonight was his moment. Mm-hmm. He was the hero of that story. He was the one that was able to find that stringer so that they could have someone on the ground uncovering mm-hmm. this huge story. And, like, when I think about when I was in a newsroom, it happened like that, where there was a person who uncovered that story, that local story, and they were the hero of the day. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to see Neil be that person for this episode, because mm-hmm. now he's got his chance to shine. He's put away Bigfoot from last episode, and he's dealing with a real news story here, and he did a great job.
Did you guys think that Amen was going to survive?
No.
I thought for sure he was gone.
I thought he was going to die. Like, I thought he was dead.
And I thought it was brilliant that I thought for sure. There's always a big emotional moment for me in these shows, in episodes of Newsroom. And I thought that big emotional moment was going to come when we discovered the fate of that character.
Yes.
And I thought it was so wonderful that it instead was about the characters we love dealing with the responsibility of putting that person in harm's way, which was the real emotional moment, the big Rudy moment at the end.
Right. Yes. Well, and
such a smarter way to do it.
It was, because it brings it back to these characters that we're just getting to know. Because we're in episode 5, so we still have a long ways to go. But it's the character building, and that just goes back to how brilliantly he writes these things, because it all comes around. Mm. You get to see what these characters are doing, and then come back and see the humanity inside them. And I like that kind of write. I like that kind of character development. I think it was a better outcome for me than what I thought it was going to be.
It's amazing. He tells you he's going to do it. He tells you exactly how the Rudy thing goes down and why that's powerful.
Yeah.
And it still works.
Yep.
You know? God, it's so awesome.
Well, if you think about it, say he did die. Say Amen died. The attention would then shift towards the dangerousness of the industry, and not an issue within the newsroom in the show.
Right.
Then now we're thinking again, like, wow, you know, being a journalist is so tough and this mm-hmm. and that, and it's less personal than, oh, wow, like, these people had to deal with it that way.
Yeah.
It's like you're looking at it from the industry perspective, if he had died or something.
Well, it'd be such a huge character change for everybody,
yeah.
too.
Right.
So, you know, it would affect Neil, you know, who we've come to love, because he's usually the funny character, and we saw a different side of him, too. You know, we were talking about Don earlier, seeing a different, you know, part of humanity for him. And for Neil, we saw something where he's really passionate about that's not Bigfoot and punching a screen. And
right.
That was the one moment that was a sour note for me, punching Rush Limbaugh in the face, which I'm usually a big fan of, that concept. But I just felt that it didn't ring true to me. That was the only moment of the whole episode that didn't work for me.
Everybody hurt something tonight.
Yeah. Lots of injuries today.
There was.
Lots of injuries today. But yeah, no, but I'm glad with this thing, because I think, too, if Amen had died, it would have been the obvious way to go.
Right.
So I like that it was different. It was more of a, you know, a happier ending for everybody, because although everybody was hurt and kind of beat up in this episode,
right,
they all came back together and all came back full circle.
You just mm-hmm. reminded me of something, mm-hmm. The obvious way to go. There was an article that I had read about last episode, mm-hmm. And they were saying that for the newscast last episode, where they had reported the right facts, mm-hmm. was the obvious way to go. And that they should have done it the other way, where, crap, they made a mistake, and now they're having to deal with it and you know, fix that situation. What do you think about that?
Well, no, because that goes against their whole Newsnight 2.0. Because the point is for them to mm-hmm. only report the good stuff, so they can't afford to make mistakes.
Right.
So waiting that extra few minutes, I think, was a pertinent part of the episode, I think. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, wasn't that episode 2 that he sort of made the big misstep and had to apologize for it?
That's when it started, the 2.0, the whole...
No, right.
Because he did the apology in the beginning of that episode, which was the second episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that they've sort of done that. You know, it's not...
Yeah. I don't think they have to continuously keep messing up.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know.
And exactly.
Then, you know...
I feel like these critics, they can say anything.
Yeah.
It's going one way, they just look at the other side of the spectrum and make a big deal out of it.
Well, everything goes to this is just a platform to spew, you know, Aaron Sorkin's own political aspirations and, you know, talk about what he wants. And I don't know, but if you look at all the other stuff he's done, you know, like The Social Network and, you know, The West Wing and even Studio 60. Did any of you ever watch
No.
Studio 60 on
oh,
the
Sunset
Strip?
Show.
I loved that show.
And Sports Night, right?
And yeah, Sports Night. Yeah. I was really sad when Studio 60 got canceled. I don't think they gave that a chance.
Studio 60 was surprisingly political.
Yeah.
For a show about comedy. But, you know, Saturday Night Live can be very political as well, so it kind of worked. But
so Studio 60 was basically 30 Rock, but more of a newsroom kind of vibe. But it was a great show. Matthew Perry was in it. A lot of people was in it.
Yeah. Matthew Perry?
And it was done kind of the same kind of way. And his style is always the same. And if you guys haven't, you know, aren't caught up on Aaron Sorkin stuff, you can, you know, log on to AfterBuzzTV.com and click on our Amazon banner. And you can do, you know, go to Amazon.com through our site. And you can, you know, get, you know, the box set, I think Sports Night's on DVD, which is a great show that, you know, people tended to love, but unfortunately the critics weren't too keen on it. But Studio 60 is a great show. Obviously The West Wing, you know, The Social Network, A Few Good Men is always a great one. You know,
my friend said that Matthew Perry was in The West Wing too, right? Not just Studio 60.
Yeah, he was. I think towards the end he appeared on that show. I would love to see him on this show.
I wonder if he'll come on.
I would love to see him on the show. But yeah, again, please go to AfterBuzz TV. Click on the Amazon banner. It helps us out so we can continue to do these great after shows. And you can do all of your own. It's just one extra click. That's it. So. Will McKenzie and TMI. Oh, TMI. And, you know, this was a great kind of thing for me because, you know, like I've said before, I'm a publicist. So the whole concept of being able to buy your way to make a story go away, I know that that happens. That really does happen.
Speaking from personal experience?
No. Well, I don't know.
Your secret is safe with us and our 100,000 listeners.
But I know that does happen with these, you know, with these gossip sites is they will not only offer you money to spill the beans about someone, they'll also take it and kind of, you know, they'll take the hush money. And it's just, it really is very interesting how loosely the word journalist is used nowadays.
Oh, man.
It's like everybody that can, you know, do a WordPress blog as a journalist.
Well, now we have the phenomenon.
You say.
Nom nom nom.
Now I'm gonna have
that's
song
when a
in
phenomenon happens
that.
While you're eating.
Do you guys know who Domo is? The cartoon character.
Of
course. You say, nom, nom. Okay.
Yes, I'm gonna have that song in my head now.
Oh no. Okay. I mean, oh yay. Okay. So what was I saying? Oh, the phenomenon of the citizen journalist. Mm-hmm. Now we have, you know, people on CNN who are just like you and I. We're not necessarily reporters out there that's, you know, with an organization, but we have vloggers. We have people who have their cell phones and they happen to be somewhere and they're taking video or pictures and they're sending it into the newsroom and they're considered citizen journalists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is a very, that's a new thing with the media. Now that social media and internet and everything is so huge nowadays, we have that new aspect of news.
Right. I think everybody, too, likes the hands-on feeling. That's why I think reality shows are so popular. They like to look at somebody else's life and, you know, for entertainment to see, you know, is it, if it, even if it might be like a cool part of it or if it's really, really, really train wrecky, it's better to see that you're not, you know,
right.
That some people's lives are this way or that way.
It's like, oh, life's not so bad. It's not like... I was going to say somebody's name, but fill in blank here.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't get into reality TV, but if it's on, I'll get sucked in just like everybody else. I just try not to go and watch it.
Except if it's Dancing with the Stars with Maria.
That's true. Competition shows are a little bit different, right. I think. That's a little bit different than actually, you know, just following somebody around for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was really funny, though, in this episode when the TMI journalist... she was arguing that she's a journalist, right?
Yeah, it's that wonderful moment where he can't help himself, and he's like, he's principled, like... right? And he cannot compromise, even on a passing level.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see Hope Davis in that part because you know those two worked together on stage in God of Carnage. They were in the Broadway run of God of Carnage, which is awesome. I have to say, I got to see it.
Oh, you love Broadway? Oh,
that's crazy.
They did a LA run.
They were here for a little while.
Yeah. But the two of them work so well together, and she's so brilliant. That scene was fantastic.
It was probably one of my favorite speeches that he's given so far.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's classic Sorkin, like,
it didn't seem
blazing.
Out of place or preachy. It was like, you go. You yeah. go, Jeff Daniels.
Well, because remember, he's on a mission to civilize. And yeah. the fact God. That she called herself a journalist, I mean, she could have had $50,000 if she would have just...
Right.
You know, he says, you talk too much.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and he's I like how he stood up for his people.
Right.
Well, it's yeah. so hard. I thought her biggest problem was saying it right when he's about to pay her off. Because my idea of, you know, I was a broadcast journalism major, is not to pay off people or get money or whatever that way. And I think that was, besides the fact that she does gossip that he doesn't like, the fact that he was writing her a check, that doesn't make her a journalist. That's not finding a story. That's right. being paid off. That's completely different. That's...
Yeah, where's the integrity of that?
Yeah, besides the fact that he had all these other problems with it, my problem was, is, you know, she's getting money to not write a story. And I think that's what irked me the most.
Well, I saw a comment, too, on one of the forums for the newsroom that somebody said that the first thing you learn in journalism school is how to step on somebody else to get ahead.
Wow.
I didn't learn that one.
I didn't know that either.
That was never something that I learned in school. And I don't think that he's necessarily, that the focus of these characters is like that. I mean, you see that in any industry that you're working in. You know, so I just don't, I don't know. Some of these criticisms and stuff just really kind of throw me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's so matter-of-fact with the way that they kind of break down the show and hate on it so much, I just don't understand it. I don't know. I just feel like if you really take a moment, watch it, and take it in, this is not supposed to be anything other than, you know, entertainment.
Right.
I don't know. Did you learn, is that what you do in your whole journalistic career?
My
Did
journalistic career?
Learn how to
career?
Crush people down?
No, I missed that class, I think. I mean, I can sort of understand some of the ideological criticisms. Even as somebody that agrees with a lot of the stuff that's being said, and mm-hmm. you know, he positions Will McAvoy as being the right wing voice, defending the right the Republican Party from the extremes of the Tea Party and whatnot. But this episode in particular was, you know, I can understand somebody looking at it and having ideological problems with it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother me, but I can't fault somebody for looking at that and going, eh, it's kind of taking a position. I mean, punching Rush Limbaugh in the face.
Well, because I think, but did you hear what he was saying? He was taunting. He was taunting the no. fact that these...
Hey, no, I'm not defending Rush Limbaugh. I would have punched him in the face as well. I'm saying, yeah. And it's a disgusting thing to have been said, and it's, but the choice was made to show that on the
yeah.
show,
mm-hmm.
you know, and...
But that's not the first time that they've shown him
right.
in his rant. That's like the second or third time that they've used him as an example
yeah.
in that sort of thing. So
it's interesting, too, because Scott Walker comes up, you know, and that's a major plot line in this episode. And one wonders if, you know, the recall results are going to eventually... I mean, this was probably written and filmed before that all happened.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that will play into later episodes because, you know, it seems like Wisconsin was on his side in a lot of ways. I mean, he was not thrown out of office, so
That's true.
You know, it was definitely brought up in a very negative light in this episode, mm-hmm. Which, you know, I happen to personally agree with, but it seems like the people of that state don't. So, you know, it's tricky dealing with this kind of thing. And, you know, we're leaping ahead in time in such great each episode is like a month later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know? I can't remember another show that's done that exactly.
I can't.
Well, the BP oil spill uh-huh. episode was like a
six month period
yeah.
in that one episode.
Yeah, and I think last episode was in January, and this episode's in February. I don't know of another show that has that big of a gap between checking in with our characters. You know?
Yeah, I can't think of it on top of my head either. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Maybe because HBO shows don't do too many episodes, so you're able to kind of leap that way, because then by the time it's back on, he has a whole nother year to work with. So he probably just picks stuff that he likes mm-hmm. the most and is able to write
and
well
span
about.
It out. Yeah. What do we think about Wade? And Wade showed his true colors in this episode tonight.
Poor Mackenzie. You know, she finally felt good enough to start dating again after all the Will mm-hmm. stuff, and you think he's kind of a nice guy and completely just uses her.
Yep.
Said, at least I got something out of it. You didn't tell me about Will, and...
You and I were never going to work anyway.
Yeah, so at least I got publicity. So that's a terrible... And it's just painting that picture worse of that news team.
Well, and the way that she found out about it, the way she found out about his political aspirations, and, mm-hmm. you know, she was probably putting him on the show to comment about things because it was easy. He was right there. He's intelligent. He knew. And did you notice he offered himself up to talk about Cairo?
Yeah.
To be, you know, mm-hmm. to know everything about Egypt. You know,
it was cute how he offered it. Like, oh, right. I could be for you. And
and then we find out later that's not what his whole thing was. Mm-hmm. He was just tricking her to kind of elevate his status with, you know, to get more exposure, which is kind of crappy. And then she feels like she deserves it, mm-hmm. which I don't think she does. I mean, and then, you know, and then we see her going to Sloan for some, you know, economic advice because she's supposed to give a speech and she knows nothing about the economy, nothing about the difference in banks, can barely balance her checkbook. And I thought that was kind of a cute storyline. You know, mm-hmm. I know that the women on this show have really gotten a lot of flack because they don't, you know, people don't seem to think that they're very believable. And I think that we might see more of that after this episode.
Yeah, we definitely will.
I think because, you know, how do you go from being a top-notch executive producer to not knowing anything, you know, to being kind of counting with your fingers and, not, you know, that sort of thing. I personally don't think that it was necessarily a dumbing down. It's more of one of those things for me, like you focus on something and that's what your focus is. I mean, I couldn't, you know, break down economics for anybody. I don't know. What did you think about that whole exchange?
Yeah, I mean, you guys would be the experts on how it affects the women on the show. You know, counting on your fingers, it is that can be a very dismissive characteristic to give to a female character, and I mm-hmm. can't argue with that, especially as a man. But I loved the fact that we got. The show is, he's so masterful at mixing educating the audience with entertaining the audience. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting our, you know, broccoli with ice cream in that scene where, you know, she's basically describing Glass-Steagall and in the midst of this sort of emotional breakdown that it being able to balance those two things is, nobody even attempts that on TV except...
Well,
show.
Especially mm-hmm. with Lionel Richie playing in the background. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I'm glad you caught that, too, because I was trying to think. I'm, like, listening to the song, because he always puts a song into some big moment.
Yeah, and that was so... It made me, like, want to cry for her, because it's all, hello. You know, in the background. She's trying to get an economic lesson so while she's having a breakdown at right. the same time, and it all kind of tied in together. But I thought it was a good way for Sloan to show her intelligence and mm-hmm. kind of, you know... To show
at least
that
her professional intelligence.
Yeah, her professional because apparently she's not really good. She doesn't have good people skills.
And there she is on our screen too. Yeah. This is the moment right here. Perfect timing.
Isn't that what they say though? Usually, like the most intelligent people have kind of wonky social skills.
Well, Mackenzie even says, "Do you have any human knowledge?" And she's like, "I've been told I do not."
Yeah, I mean to be that intelligent and versed in one subject, you don't have time to be a friend or you know. Have a social life sometimes, especially getting there. Your life is about studying economics, what's going on, staying current. That's all she does with her time. So she doesn't know how to be like, I'm here for you, girl. Like,
well, I think
I'm
that
so
shows
sorry.
The flip side of those characters, too. Because it doesn't necessarily, you know, make her less of a woman or a strong female character or anything because she doesn't have that kind of thing. And it doesn't make Mackenzie's character less or, you know, less intelligent or anything just because she wasn't that versed in economics, I don't think. I think it just kind of flipped...
Everyone
you know,
has
two
their strengths.
Sides. Right. Exactly. And we got to see more of Sloane's strength kind of as she explained it out. And the, you know, the examples that she gave and stuff I thought was a good thing.
Like, the disillusioned idealist or whatever would think that a producer would know everything, right?
Right.
We would hope that they know everything and they're
about
experts
everything.
In every subject that they're reporting on the news. But no, they're human too, okay?
How dare they have to count with their fingers?
How dare they?
Well,
maybe
clearly,
that's an easy trick, you know? I'm going to start doing something
and
like
that. Clearly, she's her expertise is in foreign policy. I mean, she was stationed, you know, mm-hmm. overseas or where I can't remember where she was. Afghanistan, I think it was?
I think so.
And had been there, what, for years? So, mm-hmm. or
well, for
a significant period of time.
Yeah, like 6 months, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of in character with her level of expertise.
Well, and then Jim even said that he'd stand up for her, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, he was with her, I think, right?
There. Yeah, he was over there. And mm-hmm. when TMI, when we were talking about that they were going to expose that she almost got one of her members killed, the fact that Jim, who's, you know, seen as such a smart character... would stand up for her for that. I think that says a lot.
Well, that's I think that's one of those bubbling up continuous plot lines that we're getting is what exactly happened over there. You know, because mm-hmm. we keep referencing
right.
it, and
right.
Jim was almost killed, and it was somehow her doing. But we don't really know what the whole story is, and I think by the end of the season, that's probably going to be one of those big reveals.
Yeah, no, I hope so. I hope we get to see more a little bit about her past and what, you know, brought her in. And, you know, I like that, you know, no matter what, Will's still sticking up for her, because when he's having that meeting with Nina and, you know, she's basically like, whatever, that, you know, that's your girlfriend. You hired her because she was your girlfriend. You know, I'm glad that he didn't even go and say, well, actually, I didn't. They kind of hired her behind my back.
Yeah, and I switched my whole contract to get her fired every week if I wanted to.
But no, he stood his ground. He stuck up for her and he said, you know, I hired her because she's the best at what she does. And, you know, again, when she kind of calls herself a journalist and he gets upset, I like that he went through his whole staff. You know, these are 20-somethings that are passionate about something, that are, you know, working for a cause and are putting their lives on the line and all of that. Those are journalists. And it's just, you know, I can't wait to see what happens, because I think, too, that's just going to foreshadow into what's going to happen with Leona. Was that her name? Jane Fonda's character?
I think so.
And, like, you know, when she comes back, because we know that all this TMI stuff is coming from them, mm-hmm. because they basically don't like what's going on in, you know, at Newsnight. They don't like what Mackenzie and Will are doing, the kind of stories that they're breaking down.
By the way, can I just totally embarrass myself right now and say, I think Jane Fonda is still super hot.
Totally.
Like, I would sleep with her now.
Right here?
If you guys are cool with it, Jane, come on in. No, honestly, I like, she's so amazing.
She's fantastic.
Yeah. I tweeted that too, and my mom literally replied on my Facebook, like, she's older than your mother. She's like, no. I did not anticipate that response.
I think it's time to talk about how we love Jim now.
Oh my gosh.
I had to.
We'll see.
I don't think that's exactly
like, if somebody was like, hey, bring in Charlie.
I love it. So you can go to iTunes and download our podcast and tell us who your favorite character is. Do you think Jane Fonda is still hot? Are you as in love with Jim as we are?
I think I just lost the support of the entire audience.
Oh my god.
But, you know, we really appreciate it when you guys go and leave comments and, you know, kind of tell us what you think of the show. And I want to give some shout-outs for our iTunes comments. We had, I hope I'm going to say this right, but ChickyC8 left us a comment. We really appreciate it. And Eddie Ginsburg and Jesse Jackson. Thank you, guys.
Jesse W. Jackson.
Sorry.
Wow. You guys have a very high profile.
Yes, we do. Dropping. But we really appreciate it. We thank you so much for doing that. It really helps us out to keep doing what we're doing. We want our show to always be number one. So please go to iTunes, rate, and leave your comments. Get involved with us. Tell us what you think of the show. And also, Apple has a new podcast app where you can download it for free on your iPad or iPhone, and it organizes all of your podcasts for you. And you know, AfterBuzz does so many great after shows here, and they'll put them all together for you in one place. So go do that. It's absolutely free. All right, so Valentine's Day.
So we're talking about Jim and how he's going to his Valentine's Day.
So Maggie
debacle.
Goes up to him and is like, here's your Valentine's. I've got you gifts. I've got an itinerary. This is what you're going to do.
I love that she had an itinerary. That made me laugh. Like, when I was a little kid, I would have done something like that. Here's your itinerary.
I thought it was so funny. She's like, don't screw me on this. I don't, you know, want my roommate, mm-hmm. you know, kind of roping me into some horrible thing because you stand her up. And he's like, I've went on 4 dates with her. I'm not going to, you know, right. She even wrote out the card for him.
Yeah.
So girls, 4 dates, Valentine's Day comes up. Do you expect to be dating the guy you've been on 4 dates with? Is it a given that he has to come up big on Valentine's Day?
4 dates in, I'm going to say no.
I don't think something big, but you can't forget it either.
I think it should be acknowledged.
Yeah, right. It should be acknowledged that it's there, but I think what Maggie wanted Jim to do was way too much. That was way more for Maggie's benefit than for Jim's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see, on the other hand, why she wanted to do it, but I think it was a little overboard. But on the other hand, it is Valentine's Day, and if you're dating somebody for 4 dates, something.
But they're not really
not
even
something
dating.
Big.
And, you know, and he says they're not even really dating. You know, calling somebody late at night, should I come over, is
Boutte.
Not dating. That's not dating people. No. Four times doing that is not even considered 4 dates. you know, you have to leave the house and go somewhere to be on
right.
a date. Or at least have a, there has to be like a meal or a movie involved for it to be considered a date, I think.
That's wow.
To expect that kind of, you know, that kind of step up on Valentine's Day.
That's
after
why she had the edible underwear.
Know.
That's their kind of Valentine's Day.
Yes.
So it's kind of appropriate.
Nothing wrong with that.
That, yeah, that part, definitely. But to expect that much from him and to go to his place of work acting like that, is that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that kind of adds, I'm watching that when people are like, oh, we hate how the women are portrayed. I hated that because I would never do that. That is kind of crazy. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Shaking my head.
No, and I think
now
for,
we're thinking she's psycho.
Well, for her character, too, I think they kind of dumbed her down a little bit too much. That's one of the only women characters on here that I really don't. I just don't like the way that she's portrayed.
I had hope for her at the beginning when we first met her because she didn't want to go out with Jim and because of the Maggie situation and them talking. But yeah.
Well, I just don't, just because she's in fashion doesn't make her, you know, doesn't mean she has to be stupid.
No.
You know, and I don't, you know, to the point where she, you know, she's putting her skirt on backwards. She has that stupid ringtone.
Yeah.
You know, that's like full blast all the time. She's showing up at, you know, acting like a crazy person.
I had really hoped she would be that really comforting friend to Maggie throughout the whole battle that she's having between her feelings for Jim versus her feelings for Dawn. But now she's just the person that complicates everything.
Well, I wonder if they're even really friends or if they're just roommates. You know what I mean? Like, there's kind of a difference between
they found each other on Craigslist.
You know, actually being friends and just being roommates. So I wonder.
Even Maggie doing all these things, writing out the card, getting all the presents, it seems like it's more for her benefit. Like, I don't want her to trip out today. I need to have a good day. Plus, I'm probably overcompensating because I don't want to go out with you tonight, too. You know?
Yeah.
She's planning her perfect date with Jim, but making it for her roommate.
She's like, this is what we would do together.
Yeah. I like how she's like, John planned this perfect night for us, and he's all, for me and you. She's like, no, for me and him.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful moment. Okay.
And he does it twice. And he's like, oh, right. Okay. I like their little love triangle. Yeah. I don't, you know, I like it. It's fun to watch for me. I don't know.
You have to do it in every show where there's some sort of office group in there.
I don't know.
That's what makes
sense. Yeah, I mean, it's when you spend that many hours in one place all the time, there's got to be some, you know, office things going on.
Oh, eventually something breaks.
Yeah, something.
Jeff, what do you think about this? You're quiet during this whole love talk. Love talk.
You guys are the experts. I know. I love that moment. That exchange was just charming as hell. I love the fact that that it's acknowledged that he's come out. That I think it was last episode that they explicitly came out and said, listen, we both know what's going on here, you know, and yet it's still, she's still with Dawn, and so that he can be more like, so you and me, and now, okay, no, right, that's that makes more sense. It's great. It's lovely, lovely writing.
Yeah, no, I love that.
They have a really good rapport every time they're on. I'm excited because it brings out something new in Maggie, too. And each episode, I feel like she also grows just even in, you know, at meetings and stuff, too.
Right.
It's not just with Jim now, but he brought that out in her. I think I like that.
Yeah, I think that he kind of, because a lot of people were critiquing her character, too, and saying that they really didn't like it, and they were also critiquing Alison Pill, the actress, and just saying, I wonder if I would like her character more if it was a different person playing this part. And I think that she actually plays that really well, and you have to remember, she's super young. You know, she started out in the beginning, in the first episode, she was an assistant. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, she got promoted to this associate producer. So, that's pretty much, that's a big leap, you know, for somebody that's as inexperienced as she is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's not that self-assured. She's very insecure. And we're kind of seeing the growth of that. This is the beginning of somebody's career. And you can't tell me, you know, for going into your first big job, that you're going to be 100% on top of it 100% of the time, especially in this kind of industry. And I don't necessarily think that it's a knock on her or the writing. I mean, yeah, she's a little bit, you know, more fragile than the other characters. But I think that, you know, that's a humanistic quality of her character.
How old do we think that she is? Or I don't think they've said.
No, she's got to be in her early 20s, though. At least, like, 23, 24, something like that. Yeah.
So I feel her. That's my age.
You know, especially with all that pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, they're starting this whole new news broadcast over. It's a lot of pressure on her. She's never done it before.
No.
you know, and then plus the dealings with her relationship. It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. For a kid. And dating in the workplace is hard enough when her boyfriend is such a big wig.
Yeah, absolutely. And he doesn't really, he's not that
supportive.
So that makes it even worse. I don't know. What do you think about her character?
I like her. I really do. I think she's, I love the actress. I think she's mm-hmm. fantastic. And I love that dynamic that they've established between the three of them. And she brings such a wonderful energy to it. And yeah, she stood up for herself a little more tonight than in previous episodes. And that it's a lovely power struggle that those two have. That, mm-hmm. that she and, what's his name have?
And
Jim, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's technically her boss, but it's a wonderful play that they have. And man, this show just works. I love the whole the fact that the newsroom is so dynamic, you know, and it feels like it's such a wonderful way to peek into real life news stories because you're looking through monitors, mm-hmm. so it feels realistic. And the whole the how things can little pockets of things can be happening in one corner of the newsroom and other things can be happening in another corner. It doesn't feel like any other show on television.
No, you know? I agree with you. It doesn't. It just it's a whole different feel. It's very smart. It makes you think about things. Even if you don't agree with what they're talking about or the position that you feel that they're taking, you know, it tries to stay as centered as it can, but of course you're going to have people that are going to take it this way or take it that way because everybody's interpretation is different. But I like that it makes you at least stop and think about it.
Right.
Not very many shows on television do that, you know, that can actually make you think about what's going on and, you know, and how, you know, they're kind of running. And you're really kind of getting to know these characters. I mean, this episode had me tearing up at the end.
Every episode has me tearing up.
Yeah, yeah. There's always something.
I don't care who knows it.
At the beginning. At the beginning for Jeff.
There's always something very emotional, and you get to see, because we're seeing Will's character, he's heartbroken. He's got the heart on his door that he tears in half and puts back up. You know, he's got a broken heart, and he's very open about it.
Mm-hmm.
And but he still cares about his people, and he cares about his staff. And when, you know, Amen goes missing, and, you know, they're calling everybody that they know, and they're trying to get the network to help, and the network refuses, he puts up his own money and goes and saves this kid's life, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. Because, as he said, he's the only millionaire up there.
Right, I agree with you.
And any man who claims that he doesn't cry at Rudy is either a liar or not human.
That's true.
And you don't have to be embarrassed about crying at Rudy. Come on.
You
it's
don't.
A beautiful film.
It really is.
It's one of the greats.
I love Rudy. It makes me cry every time. Tell me you guys have seen Rudy.
Yeah.
Most
it's
of
been
it.
A while.
Okay.
It's been a while.
I was like, you have this look
what,
in
did
your
you
face.
Fall asleep? Like, how do you most, what's most of it mean?
Most of it. I've always catch stuff like
what
sometimes.
What were you
like,
doing for the rest of the movie?
No, when I was like a kid, you know, it'd be on and I'd catch parts of it, not others. Like,
so you've never sat and watched the whole thing all the way through?
No. I think we should schedule a night to watch Rudy.
Everybody must see Rudy. This episode will mean more to you if you do. If you've seen it.
Well, spoiler, they say the end. In the show.
Well, they do, yeah. But you still have to watch it to get the impact of it, I think. You have to watch him struggle.
I wanted to just lean through the television and say, Aaron, what you're saying about Rudy is what I feel about everything you've ever written. Because seriously, like, I don't think I ever watched a single episode of West Wing without, like, bawling at the end. I'm embarrassing myself on numerous levels in the show, but
I love it.
I don't
love
mind
it.
Because it's passionate people being passionate about doing what's right and caring and being courageous, and that stirs emotion in me.
We can feel the passion
can you?
In you right now.
Yes,
yeah.
I love it. I love it. And he puts up his own money. He does that. He doesn't brag about it. He doesn't talk about it. You know, he basically says the network did it, and Mackenzie knows better. And the entire staff goes in and leaves him checks because they want to contribute to that.
That was I like
and
that.
And in the memo of the check, they put coach. I thought that's so powerful in the way that they see him and how it's turned from the beginning when they were all kind of afraid of him and just thought he was kind of a jerk.
Right.
And, you know, to see that he does stand up for them, he does respect them, he does think that they're doing good work. And he listens. Even sometimes if it's, you know, if he's a little, like, hard up and, you know, kind of harsh when he talks, he still listens and he respects their opinions. And I like that.
I like that he does. Like you said, he listens to everything. He may not choose to abide by it, but he does hear everybody,
mm-hmm.
which I like. I think that's a really good characteristic, is, you know, he'll take pieces of what he hears and he'll go with it if he thinks it's right. But he does hear everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't think everybody always does that. Sometimes they pretend like they listen and they don't. And
yeah. He might think that he's the smartest person in the world and that he is, you know, on, you know, his whole, like, mission to civilize and people need to, you know, live one way. But he also does kind of give everybody a chance to kind of, you know, leave their comments and make their mark.
Right.
And I want to know how his listening with Neil went with Bigfoot. If he actually
had
that meeting.
I know. I wonder if he had that meeting because we didn't really get to get into the whole Bigfoot thing.
Yeah.
I think people are more open to hearing what he has to say or just another side of Will because of Mackenzie.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's been on his side and has tried to tell other tell everybody else, like, hey, Will's not what you think.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She's fought for that, for him.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will get into some news and gossip, and we'll let Jeff tell you all about what he's passionate about and the wonderful things he's doing in the world. So we'll be right back.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck-driving man, but I'm not that old-school kind of truck-driving man, no. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
Good old Wooly Bear.
Our favorite.
So I just kind of wanted to go through like some of the, you know, comments and things that people have been talking about. One of the big things is they're saying that the show is very liberal. I don't really get that feeling. Do you guys?
I get that, actually. I don't think it's Aaron Sorkin. He is, you know, primarily liberal. All of his stuff is very much that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he adds other elements to the show that don't make it just, you know, this is what you should think about politically.
Do you think that, though, it's very liberal in the way that he takes a stance when they're trying to report the truth about the news? I mean, with the definition of what being liberal means, do you really think that that's the way that he goes? I mean, I don't necessarily think that.
I think it's kind of, as one of the stations that I worked for is known for being one way or the other when I had interned. And what they used to do, and I won't say exactly where it is, what they used to do for stuff is they would show one side of a story and kind of downplay the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for him, he takes something that's liberal and kind of that could be construed as liberal and focuses more on that than the other things. And the fact that, you know, he does show Rush Limbaugh and punching him in the screen and, you know, showing Sarah Palin and kind of those specific ones, and yet you don't take us and politics always get iffy with me. I'm not that way, but I think it has a liberal undertone to it, but more about the truth, which is what I like. It seemed in the first one that was talking about more about the Constitution and just telling people, finding facts, and I like that that's what he's trying to do, but does have a liberal tone to it, talking about stuff that way.
What do you think?
Rather than looking at it as this is a show that is liberal, I think the point for Sorkin would be more so this is how a newsroom that is liberal would deal with this situation, or like this is how this particular news team would deal with this story.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than he's saying I'm liberal, this is what I think. He's saying like here's a newsroom, this is what who they are and how they're going to deal with a situation.
Well, he said that he's not taking a political stance. Well, that's what he says, that's not what it's meant for. And, you know, all of his political donations have actually been to the Democratic Party. If you, you know, look it up, I think he's donated like over like $144,000 over the years to the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know. I'm not like huge into politics either, but I just don't really get that it's necessarily one-sided versus the other. I think when you know, take some of those stories and the way that they point the truth out, I don't necessarily think that that makes you a liberal or not. I think when you're,
well,
you know,
I mean, he clearly set up his main character as a right winger, you know, mm-hmm. As a Republican, registered
right.
Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But the position he's taking as a Republican is that his party is under attack by the uber right wing, the Tea Party. So I think that is, in a lot of ways, a liberal perspective on that party's situation.
Mm-hmm.
And even a character like Sloan, who you would think would be a conservative in a lot of ways as a business mind,
mm-hmm.
Her position is anti-regulation. Is pro-regulation, because when she's talking about Glass-Steagall, it's such a negative thing that it was repealed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems clear that his tit for tat of like, look, I'm being fair and balanced, to use a terrible phrase, is that, oh, she, you know, Mackenzie points out, oh, Clinton is the one who repealed Glass-Steagall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you have Sloan presenting that position in a very opinionated way, saying, mm-hmm. you know, that is the cause of our problems, which I think, you know, someone with a different perspective might argue that deregulation isn't a bad
mm-hmm.
thing. And then I think his sort of token of trying to go down the center again is by saying, mm-hmm. oh, but it was Clinton who did it. So all of that is to say that I think those criticisms are hard to argue against,
mm-hmm.
even though my instinct is to try to defend the show to people and say, you know, it's not preaching at you, but it definitely, I think, is born of a mind that comes from a particular point of view.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, obviously, because there's a particular person that's writing this stuff, so
right.
it has to come from somewhere. But I think, too, that it also gives you something to think about, you know, and, you know, whether you're going to agree with it or you're going to get riled up over it, you know, whatever. I think for the most part, whichever way the character takes it up, and it tries to go one way and then it tries to come back in the other way. And, you know, Will's always defending the fact that he is a Republican, registered Republican. He always says it over and over and over. It, you know, it still makes you think about the way that you get information and the way that, you know, people are informing you.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just think it's really interesting the way that it goes, but all of the criticisms are coming on that it's so this, it's so preachy, it's so that. I don't necessarily take it as preachy. It's just like giving you something to think about, whether you agree with it or not.
Right. And with Sloane's character, when she's talking to Mackenzie, I think her character is meant to be opinionated because she's an economist.
Right.
When economists come to, or when they contribute to a news show, they're meant to have an opinion
mm-hmm.
and to weigh in and give their predictions. And, you know, there's a one side that they're leaning towards. So in that, they're providing that not not balanced thing, you know, in the show.
Well, either way, we know that this show definitely gives you something to talk about, and mm-hmm. it's definitely a call for discussion. So hopefully, you know, we'll continue to do that. But why don't we get into some news and gossip?
AfterBuzz TV News.
So we saw in the preview of next episode that there's going to be some guest stars. We talked about Terry Crews coming on,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be awesome as the bodyguard.
And
also Dave Krumholz, who I adore. He was, you know, has been in a lot of stuff. You know him from like Numbers, and you know he was in one of my favorite movies ever. And I'm going to be, you know, I don't care, I'm going to say it, but 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, that's a good classic.
It's a great, like, cool class. But I think that was, like, Heath Ledger's first movie, actually,
yeah.
I think. Like, his first movie in the States.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's going to come on as Will's therapist, so that'll be really interesting to see.
Yay!
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. And also, it was reported by TheDaily.com that Aaron Sorkin fired all of his writers, with the
mm-hmm.
exception of his ex-girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
who coincidentally played the stripper in tonight's episode. Did you guys see the credits?
Oh,
I did not see that.
Yeah.
I said that they kept her on because it makes the Mackenzie Will stuff a lot
yeah.
better.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, I don't know how
he
true that is.
He probably wrote that in because of that.
But,
here, honey.
HBO's, you know, made a statement and basically said, you know, changes in television all the time. But they haven't really come out and said for sure, at least as of this afternoon, that 100% happened. So, you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron Sorkin says that he, you know, sits in a room by himself for hours and kind of writes this stuff with little input from anyone else, so I don't know how much of a difference that's really going to make, you know, if he changes his writer's room up. Did you have something else to add?
No, this doesn't fall under news and gossip. I had a comment earlier, but we can I guess, skip it for now. It's not really newsy. Okay. Do you have any other?
No, that, I mean, that wraps me up pretty much. I'm excited to see the guest stars in the upcoming shows and all of that. So, well, let's talk about what we think is going to happen next week.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Jeff, we'll start with you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
On the spot. I didn't know we were doing predictions.
Yes. See, I like to get it off the cuff.
Oh, man. It'll be interesting. If past is precedent, I would think we're into March of 2011. Mm-hmm. And my brain fails me as to come up with a big news story in March 2000. There's probably a huge one that I'm just not thinking of. But, yeah, I know. I honestly didn't even really pay attention to this next time on stuff because I hate spoilers.
Well, no, just what do you think? Like, what are you for? If you had it your way, would you like things to go? Like, with the relationships, with the reporting, do you think, like, the 44th floor is going to cause some more controversy?
I hope that storyline comes back in a big way. As I said, I like Jane Fonda, and I find that dynamic to be really interesting. Mm-hmm. That it seems to be carrying over that they continue to be undermining what they're doing and, mm-hmm. and sort of attacking Will and trying to mess with his reputation. So yeah, I would love to see that. Anything. I have such complete confidence in this show. It's such a treat for me to watch every week that I. Wherever it takes me, I'm happy to go. I wish I had a better prediction than that, but I.
No, that works. That works. So what about you, Kristen?
I like that Sloane, we're going to see her. They showed in the preview that she's going to get her own special guest spot that way, and it's going to cause a little controversy. We mm-hmm. see her getting yelled at one point, that she kind of goes rogue, and then we also see Will getting yelled at, and I think we'll probably end up back with Jane Fonda coming up. They have to bring her back. Mm-hmm. It's been too big of a story, and I also think he's going to have to go on one of the morning shows or something. He's going to have to make a statement pretty soon because they're all over him and Mackenzie. I think there'll be one more big thing that'll have him break where he's going to have to talk mm-hmm. about it to the public.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think that Mackenzie finds out what Will did in paying off the gossip columnists, and that's going to cause some drama. And what I hope for is that we learn a little more about Sloane mm-hmm. On the personal level, because right now we know that she's intelligent, but other than that I have no attachment to her whatsoever.
Yeah.
I could care less what happens to her if she gets booted off the show or what. So I want to feel like I want her there, you know?
You want to get more info to be more invested.
Right. Exactly.
Nice. Well, I think that a lot's going to come out with his whole interaction with Nina Howard and the kind of, you know, not real threat, but his, you know, the basic thing that he said to her that is, you know, come after me all you want, write about me every day, but come after my staff, and it's on, basically. And he tells her to tell, you know, the people on the 44th floor that, you know.
Yeah, let's see more of Charlie fighting. Uh-huh.
Yes, I love Charlie.
Yeah, there's not enough of him this week.
Yeah.
I want to see him go to bat, you know, some more. And I want to see the struggle between that, because that's one of the things that a lot of people don't see, especially in news and entertainment, is, you know, the advertising and ratings versus what you're really trying to do. And I think that's going to be really interesting to see. And we saw a little bit of that in the beginning, and I just kind of want to see more of how, you know, of that struggle. And we get a little bit every day with, or every episode with this whole TMI stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's just like that underhanded way of getting back at him.
Right.
And I really want to see how much further they're going to take it.
I was wondering if she was recording, like, the conversation mm-hmm. for a minute.
I mean, you never know. Like, I mean, with those kind of, you know, with that kind of reporting, you never know. She could have been.
I can't,
that was what I was thinking.
Halfway through the season.
I know. Yeah. I know. We don't have that many more episodes left.
Let's hope for some juicy stuff.
I know. So I think it's going to get, you know, just better and better, and I can't wait to see it. But I don't know. But, well, you know, Mackenzie did know, you know, had heard that he was going to pay off Nina Howard.
She knew for sure?
Well,
I thought she was suspecting.
But she was like, don't you ever do it. And he's like, okay, because he didn't end up doing it. But I wonder if that'll drug up some, you know, some kind of dirt if they go back to that. But we'll see. I don't know. I want them to hurry up and just kind of start dating again. It's like enough with that.
And then calling each other late night and stuff and doing what.
I know. I thought they were going to kiss at the end when he went to hug her. I thought he was going to kiss her.
But that would have been...
That's too early.
Too much,
yeah. That's true. Early. Whatever. I just want to see it.
Jeff's just smiling like, yep, kissing.
I'm all for kissing.
I'm thinking of Jane Fonda right now. Jane Fonda, we found your future.
Hey,
no, you're number one.
I could do worse. Am I right?
No, absolutely. Right? She's definitely has, you know, looks fantastic, and she's, you know, she's definitely a pro at what she does. And even like one episode, and she's amazing. So I can't wait to see more of her.
I just thought of a corny joke in my head.
Do you want to say it out loud?
He's Fonda. I'm Fonda.
Well done. Well done.
I try to hold those things back when it comes to my mind, but sometimes
you have gold like
it.
You can't hide it from the world.
It's
going to
be on Twitter pretty soon.
Oh my God.
Well, thank you guys.
Now I've embarrassed myself.
Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. And don't forget, you can catch us on, download us on iTunes tomorrow and also on YouTube. And you can always follow us here at AfterBuzz TV on Facebook and Twitter. And you can follow me at Kelly with an IEO79.
And you can follow me at TheFan2C.
And you can follow me at Sarah with an H Mendoza. Jeff, tell us where we can find you. Yes.
I'm at Jeff Cannata with two N's and one T, jeffcannata.com. I do a show every single weekday called The Totally Rad Show, and I'm on a lot of other things. So check out jeffcannata.com. You can see all my various web appearances.
It's totally rad.
Thank you so much for, thank you so much for hanging out with
us.
Hey,
thank you. I'm happy to be here. It's fun.
Yes. So we'll see you guys next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views of the host only do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.